It's just like we told you, officer. There's a religious cult in there that plans to commit mass suicide when the meteor shower starts.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Attention, cult people! Do not commit mass suicide! There are so many reasons not to kill yourselves! Flowers, for instance, and back rubs!
What is gaslighting? What is gaslighting? I've heard it everywhere in the last few years.
Yeah, that's something that I've experienced many times. But, you know, the old movie Gaslight, I forgot who the big stars were, I'll have to look it up, from the 50s. It was about a woman whose husband was slowly trying to drive her crazy by, he would move things and say, oh, no, I didn't move those. You didn't. You must have moved them. And she, you know, or lights would go on and off, or the stove would be left on that he left on, and then he would say, oh, honey, I didn't do it. It's a slow process of driving someone crazy by making them think they're doing things that you're doing, and that you're projecting the blame onto them. And it came from that movie, and the funny thing is, so we're doing all the narcissism and sociopath and psychopath research, and gaslighting is huge. It is a huge part of driving somebody crazy. Because once you do that, you weaken their resolve, you weaken their faith in themselves, you weaken their ability to make a decision or trust themselves, and then you've got them. They're under your control.
Right.
Yeah, it's scary.
I'm trying to remember who was in the movie. Yeah, it was Ways of Still Larry and I Was Born.
That was Ingrid Bergman.
Thank you. And who was the guy? Do you remember the guy? The bad guy?
Kevin Bacon?
No, it was, what did you say, Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
I don't think Kevin Bacon was around then.
No. Okay.
I don't think so. I'm going to Google it. Yeah, I remember seeing it, and it was creepy. It made me really angry.
Yeah, and that's like stuff that people do to each other, all, you know, in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that. That's one of those manipulative tactics that you have to be on the lookout for. That's
I could name people that have done it to me. But I don't want to get in trouble for...
Charles Boyer.
You know? Oh, was it Charles Boyer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Angela Lansbury.
1944. Yeah,
oh, yeah, you mentioned it in the book now that I remember. Yes, yeah. I'm remembering it now,
Angela,
I think, because
Angela
Lansbury, yeah. Because when I remember reading it, and I was like, what? What? Because she's, like, evil in the book, I think.
Yeah.
I think she's
psychological
evil. Oh, no,
manipulation.
She's evil in Manchurian
Candidate. Change things. Yeah, right. I love that movie. Oh, my God, both of them, the one with Frank Sinatra and the one with Denzel Washington, those movies are creepy.
Yeah.
Really creepy. Mm-hmm. And those are based on the Korean War brainwashing that our POWs claimed that they underwent, became a part of MKUltra, and, you know, the idea that you get a phone call or a trigger word that sends you into one of your assassin mode. I mean, that's all part of what came
burrito.
Out of the MKUltra exposure. Burrito would be mine, huh? Gas station burrito.
Burrito.
And Larry,
it's
you're
like the film Naked Gun.
Yeah, it would.
Oh,
Larry's
my goodness.
Having flashbacks. Probe, yeah.
Having flashbacks.
Anyway, what are you sorry about?
Because I made Larry flashback to his cult days.
Oh. Yeah. I think he'll survive. What else is going on here? Disinformation, misinformation. We just, you know, we live in an information age.
We saw that the
age.
Other night.
Yeah.
We saw that at the
exactly.
Roswell flycast, though, didn't we?
Exactly. It's like they say we're in the information age, but half the shit's fucking misinformation, and you know, a quarter of it's disinformation, and maybe, you know, they can parse out the last quarter how you want. But it's like we're living
propaganda.
In a sea of...
Yeah. I mean, Larry leans more towards an outright hoax, I think. Or at least,
what's this?
You know,
the Roswell thing?
Or the Roswell slides? But I think it's a...
Oh, that's total bullshit.
Media.
I'm talking about just the... Yeah. I'm just talking about the media in general nowadays, this information.
Oh, I know,
in,
but
like,
that was like such a good example of how people jumped on the bandwagon for something that was so full of bad information, planted information, and hoax. But yeah, I mean, you really can't turn on the news and get the news. It's gotten so bad. It's all advertiser-driven. You know, the corporations literally own the news channels, and so whatever you're seeing is going to be to their spin. And
well, you know what I think's happening is that you know, we've talked on the show, the three of us, a lot about reality and stuff like that. And it's like, up until, you know, maybe, I don't know, a generation ago, I guess, you know, or so, there was only like five channels. There was like barely any media and everything. So they could control you and they sort of could shape reality. And now everybody has their own sort of individual reality because of this like individualized age we live in. And it's like, that's probably a big part of the chaos of the world.
Yeah, but you know what? All those channels are still owned by the same five entities, you know?
Oh, exactly. So I guess on the big issues, they still drive people. But it's like people, I feel like there's sort of just this more independent thinking nowadays.
Well, with the internet,
not,
I mean, social networking, yeah. Although I think with
or independent perspective,
because,
that might be a better way to put it, like an independent perspective.
Yeah. Well, they need something to fill all those new channels, all the new cable channels and DirecTV channels, but then, you know, it's like even social networking, you're going to get alternative news, but you're also going to get alternative crap. So you got to pick and choose.
A lot of
alternative crap.
Yeah.
Marie's a maven on Facebook. I haven't,
you
don't come up as often, Larry, but she posts all the time. It's crazy.
You know, my
absolute
favorite post today was my shark picture. I am so proud of that. I am so proud of my shark picture.
Did you write that caption? That was good. That was funny. Yeah.
Honest to God, if I
don't
post like a certain time, people private message me, Are you okay?
Oh, God.
Is everything all right? But the thing is I work at home and I'm writing and I'm lonely and I'm in solitude writing.
Oh.
So that's, every now and then I go on and I get to goof around for 10 minutes and then I go back to writing. And but my God, there were a couple of days where I just didn't feel like saying anything. And I got so many texts. Are you all right? What happened? Nothing. I'm spending time with my son. Oh, I didn't see you on Twitter or Facebook. It's like, oh my God, I've created a monster.
Here's what I don't like. I just was on your page, Larry. You're more like me. You post sort of on occasion, but not all the time. But what irritates me about this sort of new age we live in is like it's like this press release culture. It's like you have Robin Williams shoots himself.
Exactly.
It's like you have to go on and be like, Robin Williams touched me in ways you wouldn't believe when I saw Patch Adams, and it's just a great loss for the community. It's like, you have to do it. You're, like, socially obligated. If you don't say anything, you're like,
I know.
Oh,
people go,
dick.
What's wrong?
You feel like a dick. That's how I am, you know? I'm like, oh, should I say something about Ron Williams dying? It's like, oh, no, this is annoying.
I like
Larry.
Larry,
your
page,
thoughts.
Though,
you probably share the same annoyance I have with that kind of thing, right?
I don't know. Larry and his brother post some really good stuff.
No. I just mean how you have to, like, react to shit all the time. It's like, why do I have to have a reaction? Like, Jesus, you don't need my opinion
on
the Oscars.
Yeah. It's a cult. I told you, it's a cult. It's become very addicting. I admit to that, too. You know, I have to stop myself sometimes. Like, oh, my God, get your ass back to work. You have so many deadlines. What the hell are you doing? I think it's
more my own, I guess, in a way. I feel bad, Marie, because now I'm saying, you know, because you post a lot. It's not a slight on you. I think
I'm
it's a feeling that you have to. Obligation. It's the feeling that you have to, you know. It's a social pressure.
I understand. I know what you mean. Like, oh, my God, I haven't posted today. I need to find something to say. So every now and then I'll get up in the morning and say, I have nothing to say. And then, oh, maybe something will come to me later. But I'm Italian. I'm from New York. I can't stop talking as it is. So for me, that kind of expression is very natural. But, you know, I think, Larry, I think you're a little more laid back, a little more collected, cool.
I am. I mean, I try to post maybe once a day. But, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I mean, I understand the importance of it as an author and as a public figure.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, there's just an aspect of it that's just mind your own fucking business. I mean, it's like everyone posts their dirty laundry on it, and it's like it's become like this big gigantic billboard where people throw their shit up on it.
Yeah,
and you know it's the same thing. That's why I avoid Twitter completely. I think Twitter is very narcissistic. I know Marie loves it, but most of the posts that I've seen on Twitter, people are, oh, I'm driving through Starbucks. I'm taking a dump. I'm, you know,
well, it depends on who you follow.
Self-important.
It depends on who you follow.
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
I follow
it
all
does.
The writers and stuff, so I can
it
tell
does.
Them about our books and our radio shows. And it's great because I've gotten so many people saying, I'm going to go buy your book. Oh, I'm going to listen to you. Oh, I want to, you know, I think for promotion, Twitter is awesome. That's what I do on Twitter.
Yeah,
and
yeah, absolutely. But I think
but
the vast
Facebook
majority of people
so
that use social networking, they don't use social networking for the same purposes that you and me
for
do.
For a business purpose,
they're using
yeah,
it to
exactly.
tell people that they're taking a dump, that they're going through the Starbucks, and that they're, you know.
Or here's my scrambled
they're
egg.
They're using it as
to broadcast,
yeah,
like social broadcasting.
Right.
What you guys are doing
right.
is social networking. What they're doing is just like,
but, you know,
but
here's
vanity.
The awesome thing about that, and I know we've kind of veered off track, so here's my sly way of getting
we
back
always
on
do.
Track.
Oh, nice.
The data that is captured by Facebook is unreal as far as the outlook into individuals' lives. That is just an awesome thing. So what the government is able to utilize and other marketing for marketing purposes and surveillance purposes, the data that's mined from Facebook, I mean, it's a gold mine.
Larry, is it
think
more, do you think, for consumer?
On a daily basis.
But do you think it's more
what
for like a
what?
Consumer-oriented thing to sell you stuff with ads, or do you
no,
think it's
absolutely not.
You know,
no.
keeping track of our
no,
behavior?
There is, yes, it's for behavioral modeling and predictive behaviors. So there is a
really?
Tremendous amount of information that, yes, that is gleaned from Facebook. Have you ever noticed when, just out of the clear blue, you'll see something on the right-hand side that'll pop up saying, do you happen to know this person, or friends that you may know or something, and it's like someone that you know, but it's maybe from like 50 years ago that you haven't talked
to
and
you
forever,
know they're dead.
And you're like, how the fuck did they even know?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, how the fuck did they even know that I knew that person? You know, there is a very intricate social network, or a very intricate social fabric,
right?
I would say.
Algorithm.
Algorithm.
That, Facebook utilizes to build the connections between people. And the government is able to mine that information. And, I mean, it's beautiful. It's more perfect than if you would go down to a police station and admit to every crime that you've done. Because all they have to do is check Facebook and see where you were, what you did, what you posted about. And they're able to create predictive models. And I mean, it's a fantastic, fantastic surveillance tool.
Well, I've seen now that, like, people who are, like, you know, they file for disability or whatever, and then they get their shit cut off because
they're
on Facebook, and they're like, give
it
a beat, man.
Absolutely. There's been murders that have been solved via Facebook. There's all kinds of robberies and burglaries that have been solved via Facebook, missing persons, any type of crime that you could possibly imagine. There has been resolution to because of idiots posting shit on their billboard to the world.
Yeah.
Larry, let me ask you a question, because I know this is your field.
Do
you think that Mark Zuckerberg
allows
this because he thinks it's a good thing?
Do I think he allows
it?
Who? Talking about Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
Well, he has to approve
this
type of surveillance, doesn't he?
No,
I doubt it. They can probably just tap into it like you steal someone's Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Probably.
Well,
so he may not even know it's being done.
There are... No. Yes and no. All right, so there are...
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Okay.
We're all talking at the same time here. Larry, the stage is yours. Fire away, buddy.
There's
all right,
I'm
trying to think where to go with this. Do I go into Patriot Act? Do I go into FISA? I mean, there's a lot
how
of things.
How are we being
we
under surveillance? I think, you know, how are we...
Well, okay.
Yeah.
So,
who's
the
watching
NSA,
this?
I'll just give you kind of a quick...
Okay, let Larry go
here.
Now.
The NSA has compacts with basically every internet provider in the country. Every level, every backbone provider, every fiber provider, everyone that is a long-haul provider of internet service, they are tapped in at the CO level. So the NSA basically has packet-level access to every internet-connected device in America. Think about that for a minute. Every internet-connected device. My garage door is internet-connected. My house is internet-connected. My computers, my tablets, all of my devices. Now, imagine that across the entire country, every single person that has an Internet account or is on the Internet. So the NSA has, because of this huge amount of data that flows in, they, in fact, back, I think it was 2009, 2010, they just created this, or they just opened this huge surveillance center in Utah, and they built this as a gigantic data warehouse. Now, there was a term that probably neither of you are familiar with, because I know I sure wasn't, and it is a yottabyte. You know what a yottabyte byte is?
Y-O-T-T-A? No, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, Y-O-T-T-A.
A yottabyte?
Okay, so there's... No, it's a word. It's
B-Y-T-E?
Y-O-T-T-A.
Okay.
Y-O-T-T-A-B-Y-T-E.
B-Y-T-E.
All right, so yottabytes. So
yep,
the amount of data, first of all, that flows into the NSA that they're able to look at on a daily basis is almost 30 petabytes of data a day. Okay, so what that actually means, this facility that they built has the capability to store a zillion yottabytes, and a yottabyte is, there's 1,000 gigabytes in a terabyte, 1,000 terabytes in a petabyte, and 1,000 petabytes in an exabyte, 1,000 exabytes, yeah, in a zettabyte, and 1,000 zettabytes in a yottabyte. So you can't even express how much data that is. I mean, the amount of storage is you can't even understand how much that is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, you can't go into Walmart and buy those hard drives. I mean, that is just a phenomenal, phenomenal amount of data. So all of this stuff flows into these NSA, to the NSA data center, into surveillance centers throughout the country, and it's stored, it's data warehoused, it's held. And when there is an investigative need, for whatever reason, whether it is via warrant or a warrantless reason, that data is mined, and they're able to go through and they can look at audio recording, so every audio conversation you make or that you have, whether it's cell phone, landline, VoIP, whatever, any type of internet communication whatsoever, which is web-based, Skype, email, instant message, anything that you do over the internet is captured in that as well. Any type of anything really involving the internet or any type of electronic transport mechanism, they have access to. They have it stored on a daily basis. So whether, even if you're not a suspect in a crime, you're not linked to any type of a domestic terrorism case or whatever, your information is still stored out on the government cloud.
Yeah.
Only to be utilized at a later purpose if necessary for an investigative need. So now plug Facebook into that and plug social networking into that. So now do you not only have every form of communication basically monitored and recorded and captured, but you also have the ability to take that data and create patterns based on a variety of things, GPS data mm-hmm. from your cell phone, all the information from Facebook as far as pictures that you post, the foods that you like, the places that you go, the cars that you take pictures of, everything. All of that stuff gets basically linked and mapped in this gigantic surveillance database. And they're able to build these very incredible and very incredibly accurate models of your travel patterns and where you predictably might go and what you might purchase and where you might go and what you might do. They're able to basically create your persona online in the future.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's phenomenal if you think about that. They know what you're going to purchase and where you're going to go and what you're going to think in many aspects before you even do, based on your past history that's recorded.
Well, go ahead.
Scary.
Yeah,
no,
it's
an absolutely terrifying thing to think about that. It, you know, if you make one mistake and fuck up and post something or, you know, do something.
You can't get a job
or something.
Yeah.
It's not, absolutely,
it's
that shit is not gone.
Yeah.
And if someone has the means and the motivation to do so, they can mine that data back and you can fuck yourself 40 years from when you posted that.
Mm-hmm. But I guess let me just play devil's advocate in the sense that you did, Larry, was that, you know, it's scary, and then somebody like in the government right now can be reading all my emails and shit and tracking all my
right.
Facebook activity and stuff. But it's like,
right.
Do they even have the manpower to do that to people?
Yeah.
Like, they don't have the manpower to do it to like everybody. You know what I mean? So it's like clearly.
They don't. But
go ahead.
But no, you're right, Tim. To a certain extent, but within the last 10 to 15 years, there has been a phenomenal increase in the automation capabilities of the mining operations.
Huh.
So the ability to search data through what's called meta tagging and meta information that's contained within all of those things has phenomenally expanded.
Yeah.
So what used to take maybe 10 or 15 analysts several years ago now takes one person. I mean, it's literally a matter of there's, you know, a couple of programs that put all this stuff together, and then one analyst basically that looks at the information and puts the case file together. I mean, it is not a complicated thing at all.
Talking about this, and you were talking about they know what you buy, they know what you eat. So it's not just the government, quote unquote, that can access this. It's also corporations that want to sell to you as a consumer that can access that data?
Well,
are they allowed to?
They buy that shit. They buy that shit.
They buy it?
Yes, they buy that. That is how Amazon and Facebook are basically able to perpetuate
stay in business.
Their businesses. Right. It's not because Amazon has low pricing. It's because they recommend other products, so they get you to continually buy other, kind of like the Walmart methodology. But no. So when the Patriot Act was passed shortly after 9/11, there was a lot of restrictions that were put in place there were a lot of programs that were put in place as far as corporate requirements to comply with NSA needs, law enforcement needs, anything of a domestic terrorism requirement, anything that was necessary for the investigation and prevention of any type of terrorism or domestic terrorism. So the government has access to all of those pieces of information by law. They have access to it. They don't purchase that information.
That's just carte blanche because
what was created with the Patriot Act. Now, the other information as far as your purchase type information and more consumer-oriented data, that stuff is sold. That your information is not private. It is mined by Google. It's mined by Facebook, Amazon, eBay. Every time you click a link and you walk through a site, all of that data is compiled and it is sold. And there are companies that specialize in the marketing and the selling of your data, what it is that you're interested in, what portions of this website did you go to, what have you purchased in the past.
Right.
And then they have very similar technology in that they're able to model predictive behavior as far as what it is likely that you will purchase in the future.
And then they will sell
that information to companies that specialize in that. It's a huge operation, huge money-making operation.
Yeah. It's spooky stuff. Demir, you never heard the story of the guy who, like, he came, like, rambling into his Walgreens? May not have been Walgreens, so don't get upset, Walgreens. He went into his local drugstore, let's say, and he was mad because they sent his daughter all this, like, diaper stuff, and he was like, why are you sending these coupons for diapers to my daughter? And they're like, well, she's pregnant. And then he's like, no, she's not.
Oh, my God,
and either she hadn't told him or she hadn't even known yet based on the shit she was buying.
And so they
yeah, so...
I'm pretty sure they know more about us than we do. Oh my god!
Yeah, exactly. It's spooky stuff. That's why I don't use those cards and shit. I don't want people knowing if I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're pregnant, yeah. There you go. Yeah,
that's what I was wondering.
Most people would probably think, well, just the government taking that information, but you're constantly being shown ads for things that you just bought or they think you want. That's insane.
Well, it's probably not like entirely true, but you could almost say that the only people who aren't using all this information are us, you know, like the people who actually provide the info.
There you go. Yeah. So I guess
we get 15 minutes.
Oh, go ahead. See, there's a pause when you guys stop talking. That's why I start talking.
Yeah, there's a lot of crosstalk on this episode, but that's, them's the breaks, as the kids say.
There's like a pause. So it sounds like nobody's talking, and then somebody's voice cuts in. So
it's all good.
Yeah, that was mind-blowing, Larry. Jeez, thanks a lot.
that's why we have him on here. He's a fountain of information. Now, what's next for you guys? What are you working on? What's the next work from this dynamic duo?
We're gonna blow your mind with this one. We have our first novel that we are working on.
Ooh.
And it should be out in November, and it is called Gridwalkers. And we have a screenplay. We have film interest already, so we have to get the novel done. And then next year, we are really diverging from everything we've ever done. And we're doing a book called Bug, Hunting the World's Smallest Terrorists. And it's about viruses and emerging and reemerging diseases and that whole scenario.
Like microbiological stuff.
Yeah, so it'll be the mind wars of the virus and, you know, conspiracy, fact, we'll throw it all in there.
Nice. You guys should get in touch with Dr. Tyler Kochel. He's into a lot of this stuff. I don't know about microbiology, but he's into brain stuff.
Yeah, we're not allowed to start writing that, though, until we get the novel done first. So, you know what? I mean, we've done so much. I don't know, Larry, what else can you think of that we haven't written about that we still might want to do?
Paranormal corn.
Well, talking about the cult
there
stuff,
you guys
should. I was going to suggest this earlier. You should write a book about people that get kidnapped and kept, like that thing in Cleveland. I'd read a whole book on all those different stories.
I know that is.
I don't.
So
some of you
weird.
May have already done that, but I would love that.
Well, yeah, I think Larry and I are both fascinated by people who disappear, planes that disappear and are
like
never
that
found,
vanishing,
towns that disappear. I don't know. We'll see. But for now, that's what we got going.
Sounds good. Larry, do you still do the ghost hunting?
No, not so much. I mean, I'm still involved in it, but I'm just so busy. I don't have time to do it. I mean, it's one of those things, once you get the answers that you're personally searching for, it's hard to make the time to do it. I mean, life gets in the way.
There you go. You've moved on into a legend/mentor role.
I guess, yeah.
That sounds good. You should, dude, steal that, please. Steal that.
Legend. You know, actually,
Legend/mentor. Legend/mentor role.
You have to have the slash.
Legend and mentor.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I'm
worthy
of
it. But you still have all your
equipment. Legend, maybe, but...
What's that?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'm worthy of the mentor piece of that. I think legend, certainly, but mentor...
That's never stopped anybody in this field before today.
I think you've mentored all the people that have come and joined your group and, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't believe we didn't have time to talk about that tonight, actually.
What?
Fraud and the paranormal.
Well, we have 10 minutes left. I saved 10 minutes here for Roswell slides, and if we trickle over the 90 minutes, we can. So where can folks can get the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever, as Marie likes to say, brick and mortar bookstores, the few that are still left.
Right. Yeah.
Mind Wars, who's been watching you from the shadows. There you go. What's the website for you guys? Is it still paraexplorers.com?
Yeah, and then LarryFlaxman.com and MarieDJones.com. But, fraud is the big thing right now that we're steaming over, not just the Roswell slides, but accusations of stolen valor, falsification of background, and people claiming they went to colleges they never attended, and it's just...
You talking about Phil Imbrogno?
He's one of the ones that I've heard
others.
About, but... Yeah, there's
Yeah, because that's like
others.
Old news. That's like old news.
Oh, no, there's...
I don't even know who that is.
You guys had the unfortunate responsibility of being on the air when all that went down a couple of days ago with the Roswell slides. What was your reaction to this ridiculous thing?
Fiasco.
I called it from the beginning. I said it was a hoax.
I
said right away, this is bullshit. This smacks of sensationalism. This is no different than the Ray Santilli alien autopsy several years ago. You know, it's the same crap. Different players, but same crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, what really shocks me, and this is really disturbing because I'm actually a member of ION, is that they were either able to convince Edgar Mitchell that this shit was real, or they paid him just an ungodly amount of money to be the figurehead.
But he wasn't there, Larry.
It concerns me a little.
It was a recorded
interview. I know he wasn't.
Yeah.
Exactly, but just the fact that he lent his name to this whole shenanigan really bothers me.
Well, no,
because
isn't
I
it?
Have
I wonder
a lot
if
of
he even knew.
The man.
Yeah, dude. Isn't I presume that they like interviewed him for said they were doing a movie about something and then had his had him find a release and now they can now they can use it you know
that's
whenever
what
they
I was
want.
Wondering.
I didn't even
he
know he was
there. What a letdown, you know?
Yeah, I didn't even know he
they
was showcased.
Pay. They made people pay hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, or like $1,200-$1,300 for the best seats in whatever Mexican money. But
oh, really? I forgot about
several
ticket
hundred
sales,
dollars
yeah.
to be there. Yep. And then they charged from $20 to like $75 for live stream for people that weren't there.
Yeah.
It, you know what? And they
who,
had an
now,
elaborate
who is they, though? Now, let's who is they? Like the dude who had this do guy who has the slides, or Jaime Masson? It's like who's, you know, there's a lot of rage out there,
well,
but I'm wondering
think
at who.
I think he was the ringleader for the whole thing, but everyone was, who was in attendance, but apparently there's a documentary that has been done, the producers of the documentary.
Please.
There was an elaborate stage show with a gigantic hologram, and they put so much money into the production. And everybody that was watching said by the time the slides came out, it was like, total anticlimactic disappointment. So it was a lot of, you know, a couple of UFO people that I really respect that were watching said that they presented a lot of information everybody already knew or had heard of. And then by the time the slides
a little
came
twist
out
at the
and
end.
People saw them, it was like, well, first of all, one of them, you can't even see what's on it. And the other one, it looked like a mummy in a museum or like a little display case. It's like, this is not proof. First of all, the people that own the slides are dead, so we don't know what they're, you know, why they saved them. The person who took the slides, dead. We have no clue who took them. We don't even know that they were taken around the same time. It shows a body that's a skeleton. If that was allegedly taken a month after the crash, wouldn't there still be some meat on that body? It's just total bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted on my Facebook just a little bit ago. It's funny we moved into this, but I posted on Facebook. There is some researchers that think that they have found the, quote, alien in the Roswell slides.
Good.
So check my Facebook out. It's an Egyptian mummy. And they talk about the there's some very significant similarities between the photos and the mummy.
Well, it's just,
so,
just
I don't know.
You know,
the whole thing to me just smacks of bullshit. First of all, notwithstanding all of the monetary piece of this, which I think is ridiculous, the fact that there is absolutely no scientific peer review of this is, I mean, that's asinine.
Well,
then you're going to come out and you're going to say this is absolute proof positive of extraterrestrial life. Well, that's bullshit. I mean, you don't have any kind of proven provenance.
Yeah.
You have peer review. All you've got is other UFO, quote, experts that agree
and
that it's an unusual photo, but you have nothing. Nothing.
There's a million problems with the whole thing. It's like, picture of an
really
alien.
Bad for the people.
Who do you feel bad for?
No,
I don't know.
Really
who I feel
bad
for
the people that
the people who
I feel really bad for the people that were taken by this. I mean, you know, P.T. Barnum said many years ago, "There's a sucker born every minute," and it's sad, but it's true that people don't tend to use critical thinking skills as much as they probably should, and they automatically lunge at the opportunity for something, especially if there's a big name like Edgar Mitchell attached to it. Ooh, it has to be legit. You know, this name is attached to it. There's got to be legitimacy to it.
I've barely heard his name attached to it, so I didn't know about that. But
it's
like ridiculous.
I want to believe.
Right.
Yeah. There's problems on a whole number of levels with it. It's, you know, no one would. First of all, what good is a picture of an alien from like 60 years ago? It's absolutely useless to getting to solving this mystery. So if anyone is excited about it,
we need the DNA. Exactly.
So that's like problem one. And problem two, like anyone who would find something like that and then charge for it is a shitbag.
Right, exactly.
I mean, let's just fucking get to the heart of the matter. Like there's no, whether it's real or not, the picture. Like just put it out there, dude. People have died and have spent their lives trying to get to the bottom of this mystery. Don't be an asshole and charge people for it. If it's real, you're going to make a ton of money on the back end. So what are you worried about?
Yeah, you are going to cement your name in history forever if it's legit.
Right, exactly.
But, and, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of big names that were involved in this. Richard Dolan was one. There's a lot of big people in the field that are involved. And I don't know, you know, do they all think that it's bullshit? Do they all think that it requires maybe further investigation? Don't know. But I have seen, I can't tell you how many posts on Facebook today where people defending this slide, saying that,
yeah,
oh, this is the greatest thing, you know, this is, and it's like, really? I mean, use a little critical skills.
Yeah.
A little critical thinking skills. I mean, think about what you're saying first, based on two blurry, shitty photographs from 40 some odd years ago, 50, whatever it is, you are going to automatically assume that what you see is the truth. Remember,
right, exactly.
What you see is not always the truth.
Well, I saw, like, someone posted on Facebook, too, where it was like, well, at the end of the day, maybe it'll get someone to take a closer look. It's like, a closer look,
yeah,
at fucking Roswell? No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Right.
Let it go,
things,
folks. Let it,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, one of the,
right,
things that really bothered me was, yeah, the criteria that they were presenting for these slides being so important was the fact that when they were found in the case or trunk or whatever, these two slides were separated from a bunch of other slides of New Mexico area, and they were in a little envelope off to the side. So that means they're of aliens. Maybe the people separated them because they wanted to say, well, this is from one museum we went to, and these are all from other parts.
Right.
What,
right,
the hell?
Exactly.
You're making that determination, yeah, off of how the slides were stuck in a box, that they were separated, and that means they were,
well,
so important? What?
To go further, you're taking the word of the you're taking the word of the person who discovered it, who apparently is behind,
yeah,
all this. So it's already,
right,
you know, it's already a bunch of malarkey. It's crazy.
And they weren't
the people that took the slides. You know.
Yeah, they were not the people that took them. They had possession of them, and they're dead now. And everybody's, oh, well, we worked,
right,
in oil, and she was a lawyer. Ooh, they had connections. You know what? My brother has connections. That doesn't mean he knows what happened at Roswell. Give me a break. My dog has connections.
Right.
The crap that people were coming up with to try to solidify their claims was, I don't know, maybe we're just jaded guys, but I
just felt like
we're slapping a whole lot of people.
No.
Oh,
it's, I said this with Jack Brewer. It's a call, you know. This show lately has been like a call for common sense, and it's like, if ever there was a call for common sense, it was like this past week in this ridiculous story. I don't know what people, you know, and I know you say you feel bad for them, Larry, the people that got taken, but it's like, I don't know,
yeah.
I think I must have been saying this earlier today, but, you know, I don't feel bad. I think the consumers, I said this to you guys earlier before the show started,
yeah.
I think the consumers are part of the problem. The people who paid the $20 to see this thing, unless it was for camp effect, like, let's watch this,
right,
get stoned and drunk and laugh, then there was no,
yeah,
point even,
yeah,
to spend the money. And if you did because you thought you were going to,
true,
see an alien, like, listen, I got a bridge to sell you, man. Like,
yeah,
get the,
yeah,
fuck,
you know,
out of town, you know?
Larry and I mean, people were saying, well, this could be just a small step towards disclosure. To me, it's more disinformation. Somebody probably set all this,
right,
up to make the whole,
right,
field look like a bunch of idiots. There goes your disclosure down the toilet.
Yep.
Because now,
right,
when,
right,
the UFO,
yeah,
field tries to speak again, even if they have something legitimate,
yeah,
people are going to say, well, I remember the Roswell slides, and I remember, you know, the autopsy video. I'm not paying attention to you anymore. How is that
positive? You know, it's not much different than that douchebag last year with the fake Bigfoot that,
right,
was traveling around the country.
Yeah.
You know, all it's going to do is hurt the actual field. People are going to take the field of ufology even less seriously than they do now, and I mean it's a bad deal all around.
Right.
I mean, absolutely, it's a bad deal all around for the serious researchers. This may not be something that is recoverable. I don't know, but I do. I feel bad for the people. I think, you know, everyone wants to know. All of us probably share the same intense passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The desire to know, but, you know, I'm smart enough to know that if it's too good to,
yeah,
be true, it probably is.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it was presented,
you know,
so slickly that it really, there was a moment when I was thinking, man, they're putting so much into this, you know, but then I saw the leaked slides and I thought, oh, please. But I mean, right. when the production is that big, you start to think, wow, you know, they must have something good to be able to live up to this pre-buzz,
yeah.
And they didn't. And I don't know, maybe they really truly felt that they were onto something, but I can't imagine. Some of those guys are smart people. I don't know if it's just a hoax or
yeah, it makes you lose faith in some of these folks, yeah.
Did they get
yeah.
taken
yeah.
in by
right.
somebody, you know?
Well, I'm not seeing anybody,
possible.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous, dude. It's pretty ridiculous. It's part and parcel with American ufology. I've said it for weeks now, months on this show, years probably at this point,
yeah.
but now it's clear. Like I said, American ufology is professional wrestling. I don't think that, I mean, they perfectly captured it this week. It's just pro wrestling.
Well, the paranormal ghost community is too. There's people committing fraud, ripping people off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, what's all this? We're off the live show now. We're still recording, but we've lost the live audience, so they can't hear me. Good night. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We had a pretty lively chat. But what's this other fraud that's upsetting you? Is someone else perpetrating?
Well,
Larry,
the one you posted today was a good one. The tombstone
yeah.
event and
right.
This woman has been accused many times of ripping people off and taking money and not following through. But Larry and I specifically have been following the story of a particular person in the paranormal field who has been accused by a military organization of stolen valor and lying about his quote-unquote scientific ground, educational background, calling himself
a shaman. But not Philip Brognow.
No, it's a different one. I'm real worried about saying
bizarre.
The name, but...
I know. Well, Phil Imbrogno has been accused of that, so it's. I feel like
well,
it's you know.
There's actually
he's
a
welcome
Vietnam...
to come on and respond anytime, but.
Oh,
he won't.
He's running.
I know.
He's hiding. But there's a Vietnam veteran group that's taking legal action against him. I had no idea. I had to ask Larry. I had no idea that stolen valor was, you know, something that people would actually sue you for. And. Wow.
That's a crime.
Wow.
Yeah. But he's not the only one.
Would I know this person's name, or is it someone who's like even on the fringes?
He's got a TV show. He's got a book out.
Okay, that's all I need.
Well,
Larry,
we'll message you later. But I mean, you know, we
yeah, send it to
we
me off the air.
That this individual is full of crap because we've dealt with him before. We've dealt with some of that BS. But he's not the only one. There's a lot of people out there that are claiming to be, you know, alien hybrids or psychic this or that, or they're demon hunters. They have no background or education. We don't even know if they're anything.
Oh, of course.
Demons even exist. And so it's like, where does this come from? All of a sudden people are, it's like they're screaming for attention by giving themselves these labels. I'm a shaman.
Now they need to feel important,
Yeah, I'm a medicine woman. And it's like, dude, you're whiter than my ass. You're not a native shaman. And anybody can say they're psychic and not have to prove it. Because really, what are you going to do? How are you going to call them to task? We're just seeing a lot more of this sort of self-labeling to get book deals, to get on TV, to get attention, and it's crazy. And not only that, but people who hold events and end up ripping people off, you know, all the TV shows with the faked evidence, and it's everywhere.
It's a sea of stupidity. Yep. It really is.
A sea of stupidity. And then you
wonder
why
I like having you guys on the show.
Yeah, you know. I think Larry and I are smart because we have one foot in that world and the other one not.
Right.
And the thing about being writers
exactly.
is that you don't have to live in any one world. You know, that's not your job. Your job is to write about whatever subject you are writing about. But we keep a foot in that world because there's good stuff going on, too. You just don't hear about it as much, but...
It's great stuff. I try to feature
it,
the great stuff on my show, like what you guys do
yeah.
and everything. It's like, you
and
know, it's like
people.
Like I said. Yeah, you know, it's just, It's just a mess. I've been saying it for a while. It's the whole fields. Yeah. All these fields are a mess, you know. And they attract like the worst people, you know, because it's just awful. Because it's on the fringe, so it's not policed by anything.
There
so it's
you
like
go.
The people that flourish with lack of supervision are at home in this realm.
Yeah, because see, you could be a part of ufology or the paranormal, what have you, and have no background or skills or anything. And maybe you're a sincere researcher, but for so many people, I think they look at this, they look at the paranormal, the metaphysical field, the self-help field, and ufology as a way to get in and get attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Just take up a hobby, folks. Take up a hobby.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well,
all right.
We're pretty much at the end here. We did the What's Next for You, the book, so... What's the title of the fiction book? I don't know if you told it. Oh, yeah, you did. Gridwalkers. Yeah.
You did, yeah.
Gridwalkers. All right, nice. And that'll be coming out around November, so just in time for the holidays.
Yep.
All right. Power Explorers is the website. Thank you guys for coming on the show. I appreciate it. The book here that we talked about, Mind Wars, is awesome. I loved it. I really did. It's like I said at the beginning, they tag it conspiracy at the back, but it actually like runs the gamut of different genres, and I really love that. And you guys put the same trademark level of depth and breadth into this book. You know, you really covered it from just a billion different angles, which is what you guys do in all your books. So I really, really I loved it. So thank you so much for coming on the show, guys.
All right. Well, thank you.
Marie, did I already lose you?
I think so.
Jeez. Marie's gone. All right, Larry.
All right. Well, thanks, Tim.
No, no problem. You can split. I'm going to do plugs now. So have a good night, and thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman. The book is Mind Wars, Who's Been Watching You from the Shadows. As I said, it really is fantastic stuff, folks. You should go out and pick it up. And if you're just listening to the show now for the first time, somehow, some way, we are Banal of America. If you want to find out more about us, just punch in Banal of America into your preferred web machine. And the spelling for all that is BINNALL of America.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just punch in Banal of America and like us. That's pretty much where you can find... the most breaking stuff from BOA. So if I have a guest change or there's something going on with the program or if something happens in the world, I'll try and post some news that connects to a previous edition of BOA audio. Like, for instance, I should have posted this today, but this connects to the last episode we had earlier this week. They just released some crazy footage of crazy Robert Durst peeing in a CVS from a few years ago. So connects to this past Tuesday's episode here, part of our double week extravaganza. And this is concluding our double week edition of the program. Two shows, two nights. Matt Burke back on Tuesday night talking about Robert Durst. Tonight, Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman talking about Mind Wars. And of course, as always from BOA, all of it was absolutely free. So... now comes the time in the program where I take off the hat, pass it around to the BOA audio listeners, ask you to help us out, make a donation. How do you do that? That's simple. Just head on over to Banal of America, click the PayPal button. That'll bring you to PayPal. They'll walk you through the process. It's safe, secure, and simple. But if you don't trust the internet and you want to make a snail mail donation, there's also a P.O. box at Banal of America. The address is at Banal of America. So head on over there for the P.O. box address. Let me see here. I should mention two things I want to mention, actually. I keep forgetting this. we didn't have a program the week of April 19th, and that was actually the week of our 10th anniversary here doing Banal of America Audio. And in typical BOA fashion, we actually missed the 10th anniversary doing anything on our show, but we did do a 10th anniversary special on Greg Bishop's Radio Mysterioso. And I guess he's working on the MP3 now, and it should be online in the next few days. And I'll link up to that at Banal of America and on our Facebook page. But it was fantastic, and I talked a lot about sort of the background of BOA and revealed some stuff that I had never really talked about on the show before as far as, Greg asked disastrous episodes and things like that, and I tried to give honest answers. So I think folks will really dig that. So head on over to RadioMysterioso.com and, I don't know, keep refreshing till Greg posts the MP3. And what was the other thing I wanted to mention? Oh, folks who have been complaining about the lack of listener feedback, we threw a great listener feedback in at the end of Tuesday's show with Matt Birkbeck. So download the MP3 and check that out at the end of the program. It's brief, but it's still some listener feedback. And I promise I'll bring it back eventually if I can ever find the time. Seems like I'm always running against the wind, as the song says. And speaking of which, the next edition of BOA Audio, what is today, May 7th? It'll be coming at you next week. I'm 90% sure of that. I got a couple of folks lined up, so it's either going to be Tuesday or Thursday. So I should know, hopefully, tomorrow, and I'll probably announce it on Sunday once I know for certain. But we got a couple of shows lined up in the next few weeks, and we got a real big guest, hopefully, coming on the program towards the end of the month. So lots of good stuff, and we're going to be exploring all kinds of strange and unusual realms that we haven't got into on the program before. As hard as that is to believe, there's still some strange areas we have not discussed, and we're going to try and get to them as the month of May unfolds. So, with all that said, we're going to wrap up the double episode week here with this. Thank you so much, folks, for listening. Thank you to the hardcore BOA audio listeners for your enduring support of the program. I know we kind of stumbled a bit here as Larry fell ill, and I was doing the 10th anniversary show on Radio Mysterioso, had a few weeks without a program, but here we are coming at you with a double episode week, hoping to repay your enduring loyalty. And to the newcomers to the program, welcome to the party. Dive into the archive and get yourself acquainted with BOA Audio. Thank you, folks, so much for once again making BOA Audio a part of your esoteric audio playlist. Until next time, this is Tim Benall, thanking you for listening and signing off.